This is Curtis Baptist Church's podcast. Here at Curtis, we are all about helping people find God, follow Jesus, invest in others, and impact the world. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
But today we're going to be talking about the greatest birth ever, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. And that is what Christmas is all about. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll be sharing in a Christ-filled Christmas will be the theme of the messages this Christmas season. And today, focusing on two verses specifically, Luke 19, 9 through 10, as we talk about Christmas is about Jesus Christ. Michelle asked me this morning, said, "Mark, what are you preaching on?" I said, "I'm preaching on Zacchaeus, Christmas message." She said, "Zacchaeus? Absolutely. Zacchaeus, verses 9 and 10. What a beautiful text this is, where it says that Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." And it is in verse 10 that we're going to specifically focus on today, that says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." If we raise the question this morning, what is Christmas about? The answer is simple, yet it's extremely profound as well, because Christmas is about Christ being born into the world as the Savior of the world. And that should not be a side note. It should be the theme of everything we do in a Christmas season. Ben the other day also noted to me, he said, "Mark," he said, "it seems like we're Christmas season is 2 months of Christmas." That is, from a standpoint of, you know, all the different big box stores and Amazon and everybody else trying to get ahead of the curve in regards to selling Christmas gifts to us. But we know that the greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it ought to be our theme, not a side note. It ought to be what focuses our Christmas celebrations. And I'm not against traditional Christmas joys. Who doesn't like a warm fire? I do. I love to sit by a warm fire. I always hope for snow, but we never get it. And I told Michelle the other day, they had some snow up in Nashville. I said, "Do you want to drive up there? Let's go. I want to see some snow." I don't know about you, but I love snow and a warm fire, hot chocolate, friends, Christmas movies, all of those times with your family, those are wonderful. But those should not supersede the fact that the theme of your Christmas and mine ought to be Jesus, our Savior. And if that is not the case, if all the other festivities of traditional Christmas bumps that to the side or down in any way, we must reevaluate what Christmas is all about to us. And one of the things I hope that the text will do for you today is to refocus you in that way and to have a deeper appreciation, a greater passion to want to share the love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world, the influence that God has given you. He's given you an influence. He's given you opportunity to share this message. And we convictionally ought to be desiring to tell others about our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want Him to have His proper place in our hearts and in our homes this Christmas season. You know, God loves us so much, that He sent His only Son to be our Savior. And we should never get over that love that He had for us. And it should be enriched and it should be shared consistently. When it comes to a Christ-centered Christmas that I am talking about, many people find that to be very confusing. And it doesn't make much sense to them, especially if they're not Christians, if their life has never been transformed, if they've never been saved. And it's a mystery to them. But here's the fact that I want you to take to heart today. The story of Zacchaeus, and we're not going to study the whole thing. I'm only focusing on the last two verses in Luke 19. But you know the story. The story is the picture of a man who is trying to figure out who is Christ. What is He all about? And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there are people in the world today who are searching. They're trying to understand. Who is my creator? Do I really need a savior? What is this all about? And Zacchaeus is the picture of a person who is searching. And there are so many today. There are people in your life today, people you work with, neighbors that you have, family members that you're going to encounter, and they're searching. And your job and my job is to be sensitive to God and to the movement of the Holy Spirit to convictionally encounter them with the truth, because they're searching for the truth. Another Christmas gift is not going to settle their heart in this matter. They need truth. They need to know God loves them. They need to know the message that Jesus came as their Savior. But this message that Jesus came, for some people they saw him as a powerful teacher. Some people say, well, he was a political powerhouse. Maybe I would throw him into the category of a humble humanitarian. You know, people have said Jesus is all these kinds of things. But I prefer to focus on the fact and to believe of what Jesus said about himself. And that's in verse 10. Let me read it to you one more time. He said of himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That's who he was. That's why he came. That's why he did what he did. And that's how it impacts us. So what is salvation? What does it mean to get saved? Why do people need a Savior? What is the purpose of Christmas? These are all pertinent and important questions that we need to address. If you would look again at the scripture that Ben read earlier in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, which focuses on the Christmas story. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" And let me slow down as I read this next part. "For what they said was this, 'I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" That's you, that's me, that's your friends, that's your neighbors, that's your co-workers, relatives, whoever it may be. This is news, good news of great joy for all people, that today in the town of David, underline this, highlight this, note this, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in the manger. And we know that story. But you see that word Savior? A Savior has been born to you. Savior there. And then we look down in verse 10 of Luke 19. And we see the word Savior again. That the Son of Man came to seek and to save. He was fulfilling who he was and why he came, that he came to save. So I want to give you three Christmas facts to celebrate and share this Christmas season out of verse 10 of Luke 19. So let me begin with the first part of that verse where it says, "For the Son of Man came." He came. This is the coming. Oh, my mic is not on. I saw a text message come across. Maybe somebody was trying to tell me that. Okay. Well, y'all got to come up here and stop me. Ben was coming. Give me one second here. All right. Is that better? I have a question for y'all. Y'all want me to start over? Y'all be late for lunch if I do that. The button up my shirt. Okay. My wife's getting me dressed. Ben's getting my mic on me. Boy, that's a... One thing we can all be assured of, none of us are perfect. Okay, that's why we need a Savior, right? Amen to that. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to start from the beginning, just kidding. Here we go. Point number one, Jesus came. For the Son of Man came. This is, you just have to stop and think about that. Isn't that what it's all about? That Jesus came, he entered our world. You know, when someone comes to you in a time of need, it says something about them. I have friends that I promise you that if I was broken down 200 miles from here, they would get in their car and they would come and help me if I needed that help.
If I was sick and in need, they would come and serve my family and try to help me in any way they can. And that says something about them. The fact that Jesus came says something about him. He came for us because we had a great need. I remember a phone call I received when I was, I was probably 16 or 17. And it was from my sister. And she called me and she was upset and she was crying. And she said, "Mark, I've had a car accident." And she was about an hour and a half from our house. And I said, "Well, I'm coming immediately. I'm going to come and I'll help you." And someone had run into her and totaled her car. And I drove as quick as I could to get there to where she was so that I could help meet a need that she had. Why? Because I loved her. She's my sister, right? Well, God so loved us, he sent his only son, the son that came to us, which says something about him. The creator came to his creation. The eternal one, Jesus, he entered time where the sun rises and the sun sets. He came, Jesus, in human flesh. The scripture tells us Emmanuel is his name. And what does that mean? It means God with us. This is not just the story of a baby in a manger. And you know, we love to see babies and they thrill our hearts because they're beautiful and they're innocent. Now, when Jesus came as a baby, what we were seeing and what we experienced in that reality is that Creator God came to us. He came in human flesh. He came for us because he loved us. John 1:1 says it this way: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light of the world came into darkness. Holy God came to an unholy people in order to make them holy." Now, actually, for some people, this is very controversial. The fact that human flesh embodied Almighty God, that he's fully God, fully man, some people would push back against that and they can't accept that. But that's what the Bible teaches. And we believe that, and it has changed and transformed our life. And that is what Christmas is all about, is that the Savior came for us and to us to transform our lives. We also should note that Jesus came seeking. It says, "For the Son of Man came," and in that coming, we see that there was to seek. He said, "I came seeking," to seek and to save the lost. This seeking means that Jesus didn't just make an appearance in a manger and that was it. He grew up and he entered his community. I like to think of him as a dispenser of truth, for he was truth and he spoke truth, and it was the truth that people needed. It was in the streets that he was seeking out sinners to set them free with the truth. He wasn't walking around just looking at the sights in Jerusalem. He wasn't looking at the temple and saying, "Look how great that is." Earlier this year, almost a year ago now, we went to Jerusalem and we walked around and looked at all the sites. And we looked at the temple wall. And we went and we looked at the Mount of Transfiguration. We went to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And we were sightseeing and we were looking. But that's not what he was doing when he came seeking. He came with the emphasis on humanity. He was looking for the souls of men that needed truth. I came across a recent story that talked about how parents have a new technique when their child goes missing. It's called looking loudly. I don't know if any of you have come across that, but I think it's quite interesting. In fact, I think it's quite effective. If your child went missing, probably what you would do is you begin to call out their name. Our oldest son, Joshua, when he was little, if he went missing, I'd have said, Josh, where are you? Or Hannah, where are you? And she's the one that always was disappearing. And I was having to find her in those moments of panic. And there was one moment of panic when we were in Florida that she disappeared on me looking in a shop for something. And it was just a matter of time, seconds. And she was off wandering around and I was calling her name. Well, they say that's not what you're supposed to do anymore. But you're supposed to take this method of looking loudly. And as you apply it, you ask others to apply it as well. And I'll tell you what it is in just a second. But did you know the statistics say that 2,000 children go missing every day in the United States for all types of reasons? Some for days, some for minutes. And the terror sets in and parents begin to be traumatized by the fact that they can't find their children. What do you do in that moment? They recommend that you begin looking loudly. And what does that mean? It simply means this. Instead of calling their name, you put out a description of who they are. For example, you would say something like this. I'm looking for a boy. I'm looking. He's age 5. He has brown hair, brown eyes, Caucasian. He's wearing a red Nike t-shirt, black shorts, and black shoes. I'm looking for a boy, and you give the description. And they say, then you ask somebody beside you, would you give this same description loudly right now? And parent after parent after parent, person after person, everybody gets involved and becomes a PA system. And everybody begins to not try to call a name, and they can't put a description together. Now they're looking for a person that looks a certain way. And they said it's worked many, many times where children can be identified and they can be found. In fact, they recommend that if you're going to a large crowd, that you should take a picture of your child on your phone before you enter that crowd, because you may not remember what they're wearing. And they said specifically to tell the description of their shoes is very important, because if someone tried to take them, they may try to change everything else, but changing the shoes is very difficult. To take a picture of your child. And if they go missing, you begin, like a PA system, to loudly look for your child. Don't do it quietly, and don't do it just by name, but give the description. I think that's some good advice. That's practical. And so the whole emphasis on that is, why would you look for your child? Because you love them. Why would you seek them out? Because you don't want them to be harmed. Why would you do these things? Because you realize at that moment your great love for your child, right? So if you can translate that over into the fact that God so loved us that he sent his son Jesus to come into this world to seek you and to seek me, to seek a Zacchaeus, to seek whoever needs the truth, which is our world in which we live. That's why he came. He came seeking just like a parent would look for a lost child. He went seeking sinners, and he found sinners, all kinds and types and all kinds of places. He found one up in a tree named Zacchaeus. He found another by a well, a woman who was seeking truth. One came to him in the middle of the night. You remember him? Others, struck with blindness, resorted to crying out on the side of the road as they cried out to the Messiah, wanting to know if he was real and true. You remember that story? How about the fact that thousands followed him on foot looking for truth? Then there were those covered in leprous sores looking for truth. And he found some fishing. He found some collecting taxes. And still others hanging on crosses waiting to die. But what they needed was truth. When you read the New Testament, you cannot escape the reality that Jesus walked on the streets dispensing truth because he came seeking those who needed the truth to be saved. What a model, what an example, what a picture of love. Christmas is about, listen, a Savior seeking. You say, well, how does he do that today? He does it through you and me. He said, you are my ambassadors. I am giving you a commission until I return. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. See people get saved. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you always to the very end until I return. That's the commission. You cannot escape it. He said, we are his ambassadors. We are his dispensers of truth. We are to be a witness and a light. We are to be the salt. We're to be all those things, and we cannot escape that responsibility. And I promise you that we will give an account to God for how we handle the truth, the knowledge that we have, the reality that our lives have been transformed, and we get the privilege to tell someone else about Jesus, our Savior. You say, Mark, that makes for some good preaching, and I believe that, but I struggle to live it. Why is that? Because I think the enemy has caused us to become quiet. We're not loudly seeking. We're not loudly calling out. We're not looking. It's not our heart. We're involved in everything else but. And I'm trying to ask the Lord, Lord, make my heart tender. I want to see what you see, and I want to seek those that you want me to seek, and I want to speak truth, because the greatest thing I could ever be involved in is seeing souls saved. Is there anything else greater than that? What is the greatest Christmas gift you've ever given or received? Maybe nice. I remember we talk about this every year. As parents, we gave scooters to our kids one year, electric scooters. One was a smaller scooter, and then one was a larger, and they were just like blown away by that. They still talk about it. I said, well, how did y'all do that? You know, and they couldn't believe we afforded to get them scooters, and they were fascinated by that. And that was a nice gift. Okay, they may say, that was a great gift. As a child, I received that. The greatest gift they've ever received is salvation of Jesus Christ. What is the greatest memory you have of Christmas? I say the greatest memory I can remember is my father reading the Christmas story, keeping the emphasis on Christ the Savior. Did we exchange gifts? Of course we did. Did we celebrate? Of course we did. But the greatest emphasis was Jesus the Savior. He came, and he wants to continue coming to those who need the truth. This morning you participated in the Great Commission Cookie Exchange. Multiple hundreds of boxes of cookies, and the cookies are good, and they're a nice gift. But the card with the gospel on it and the Bible that tells about Jesus, the Savior of the world, with the gospel inside of it, is the greatest gift you could ever share with someone else. You'll never convince me otherwise. And so for us to put an emphasis on that, to take that gift, to pray over that gift and say, God, who am I to give this gift to? That's why we're here. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so I'm excited about that. I want to see the seeds planted, and I want to see the harvest that will come by sharing the gospel, and we must not be quiet about that. We've got to share it. And it's got to come out of genuineness and a heart that really believes this, knowing that our own lives have been changed. So Jesus, he came. Jesus came seeking. But thirdly, I want you to see that Jesus came seeking to save the lost. This saving is what it's all about. In Luke 2:11, he says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is good news of great joy. The word Savior there means deliverer, one who rescues. That's what Savior means. Deliverer, one who rescues. This implies that it's a situation at hand that calls for a rescue. Someone that needs to be delivered from harm's way. Someone needs help, and that's why the Savior came. So this begs the question, a Savior to save us from what? Bad weather, a bad situation? No, the answer is simply this, to save us from our sins. But that's a message that is irrelevant in our culture today. Spiritually speaking, most people don't have a sense that they need to be saved or even be connected to God. The world has rationalized away any accountability to sin and a God who will judge us one day accordingly. And so when we tell people that they need a Savior, we need to help them understand what sin is all about. That sin has separated us from God. And it's an offense to a holy God. But he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. People need the explanation of this. They need to understand. You say this may be gory, but the truth of the matter is it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. I was reading that over in Revelation chapter 1 this week. And what a beautiful thing it is that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to preach that. We've got to teach that. We've got to share that. Because that's where the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. You say that's a little gory. No, that's just real. That's what the Bible teaches. And the world needs to know what was given for their sin, and that's what they're saved by. You know, if you were to get a medical diagnosis that said you will soon die, you would look at your doctor and say, doctor, is there anything that you can do to save my life? And any good doctor will do all they can do. They take an oath to say, I'll save your life. I'll do everything that I possibly can to save your life. You get that, I get that in a physical sense, but do we get it spiritually? That people need saving from their sins and that eternity is coming. It is such a significant deal. Do you think heaven and hell is real? The Bible teaches that it is. And when I stop to think about that, the glory of heaven, we all enjoy and think, man, that's going to be wonderful. But what about the horrors of hell? The separation from Creator God? We don't really like to think about that. Some people have tried to remove this truth from the Word of God. We would rather have human reasoning to think that maybe this can't be the case, and surely not, and I don't think so, and it couldn't be. But the Bible teaches it is so. And that's why a Savior is needed, to save. He's in the business of saving people from sin. Christmas is about a Savior saving. It's about life transformation. And I believe the Christmas story is alive today as much as any time in history. He grew out of this manger in order to impact men like Zacchaeus. And when you think about and study the story of Zacchaeus, there's some things that can stick out to you that will help you see that there is hope for all people. I want to say to you, whoever it is that God places in your life to share your Bible with, to share this gospel message with, they're not too sinful to be saved. Some people thought Zacchaeus was beyond rescue, but he was not too sinful to be saved. Some people think, well, Jesus doesn't have time for me. There's too much going on in the world. There is a lot going on in the world. In fact, there's a war taking place in Israel as we speak. You think, well, he's focused all his attention there. Listen, I don't have the capacity in my mind to understand how he understands everything there, everything here, everything over there, everything everywhere else. But he's God and I'm not. And here's what I do know is he still is interested in saving people in our community today as he is saving those that are involved in a war. And I'll live that way. He's not too busy to save. Another thing Zacchaeus teaches us is that you can't clean yourself up and then get saved. It's something a lot of people try to do, but you can't do it. You got to come as you are. Another thing that he teaches us is that showing interest is not enough for salvation. He had an interest. He was in the tree. He made the effort to climb the tree, and he wanted to see who Jesus was, and he wanted those answers, and he wanted to try to understand what in the world was going on. And he knew he had a need, but just to climb the tree was not enough. He had to come down out of the tree, he had to engage the Savior, and he had to be saved. So interest is not enough. Another thing he teaches us is that salvation can take place anywhere, not just in a church building, not in a Bible study only, but absolutely anywhere. Can I ask you this question? Wouldn't it be a great Christmas if in your home you led somebody to the Lord? Wouldn't it be a great Christmas if you're walking around the block with a friend and you get to lead someone else to the Lord? You say, how do I do that? You take that little Bible and it's right there in the front. It'll show you how to do it. You said, I haven't been trained. The Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit will guide you through that, and a person can come to know the Lord. In fact, some people in brokenness and full surrender come to know the Lord without any human help. They simply break before the Lord and they call out on him and they are saved. And many times as ambassadors, we are there as well. But don't you want to be a part of that wherever God wants that to take place? And I would say a sixth thing that Zacchaeus teaches us is we should not wait to get saved. He said a very important thing. He said, today salvation has come to this house. That means today is the time. Right now is the time. Well, we don't know. I was telling Michelle, I noticed on the news last night that tornadoes came through Tennessee and Kentucky. I said, that seems odd to me. That's typically in the spring, not this time of year, at least in my mind. I don't know, I'm not a weather person, but that just seems what's right to me. But they said this morning when I got up, six people had died. I promise you those six people never planned to die yesterday, but they died. People are dying all the time. And we have to trust that to God and his time and his way. But my point is, don't live like you're going to live to be 100 and never engage anything or anybody spiritually, because when you get to the end of your life and you stand before God, you'll live with regret that you didn't focus on the things that really matter. Old Zacchaeus, he was successful. Oh, wasn't he successful from the world's standpoint? In his position, he was a chief tax collector. He'd risen through the ranks. He'd found worldly success in his possessions. We know that he was a very wealthy person, but yet he was empty, spiritually speaking. He knew there was more to life. He truly was the picture of humanity searching for truth. And I believe there's people around you and around me who are searching for truth. He was saved. He heard the call of Jesus. He came down and he welcomed him gladly. And you said, did he really get saved? Well, you know what Jesus said about it? He said this, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. A Savior has been born to you out of the manger, into the streets, dispensing truth to the souls of men. Because why? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He also said in verse 18, whoever believes in him and is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Listen, to not believe in the Christmas message has eternal consequences. It alters everything in your life. But to believe brings transformation of a life. The whole purpose and the whole power of the message of Christmas is this, is that it's God with us to save us. Joseph said in Matthew 1:21, you are to give him the name, or Joseph was told, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their bad situation. A terrible culture? A downturn in the economy? No. He will save them from their sins. That's why he was given the name Jesus. This is why we get to tell people that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I think the church needs to realize and remember and revisit and return to the biblical meaning of why Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says, he said of himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Yesterday I was talking to Carlene Nichols. We were just talking about just the steps she's been going through in the loss of Spike. And I said, you know, they say you have got to go through an entire year worth of events. Birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever it is, because there's a memory attached to every one of those, and there's transition in all of that, and you trust the Lord through that. But I said to her, you know, I just have this picture in my mind of Spike being at peace, him overjoyed with the number of people he shared the gospel with, that the Lord's let him realize that. He had a natural desire in the Lord to share the gospel. If he was here today and he took part in the Great Commission cookie exchange, he'd take every box he possibly could to give it to somebody, because he was unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some people might have thought, well, he's a little aggressive. He'd tell me stories, he'd tell me all kinds of stories, but he'd tell me stories about, you know, there would be people working around his house. He'd go out and he'd gather them all up and just talk to them about the Lord. You say, well, I can't do that. You can do whatever the Lord leads you to do and empowers you to do. And I promise you this, there are people that God uses in ways that we may question today, but eternity comes. If their heart and their motive is true, and they're sharing the message of what Christmas is all about, that God so loved us that he sent his only Son Jesus for them, God uses it. Through our personality, he pours that out. As we're his ambassadors, he pours it out through us. the personality he's given us, the world in which he's allowed us to have influence. He works through us if we make ourselves available to him to do that. And that's really all I'm asking you to do. Have a Christ-centered Christmas. Be his ambassador this Christmas wherever he sends you. Speak the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. People are searching. People are looking. And we, like Jesus, are dispensers of truth. And we should be speaking it for his glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for previous episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider sharing this with a friend to help us spread the good news of Jesus. For more content from Curtis, go to curtisbc.org.